This is way too much fun for church. Can we still be having church? Yeah. Oh, wait, we are the church. That's why we're having so much fun. You guys know that, right? We're the church. Yeah. You, me, all of us together. We're the body of Christ. And it just takes all the pressure off having to be in the right spot at the right time, right? We're it. We're God's plan to represent His love to a planet full of not love and darkness. And I just thank God for this morning. It's been a great morning already. You guys all good? Yeah. Yeah? I'm fired up. We had a good service, the first service. It's still a little lightly attended, so if you'd like a little more wiggle room, elbow room, whatever it is that you like, if you like your space, if you're willing to get up a little bit earlier, 9 o'clock service has been happening. And but we did a lot of empty seats at that one, and that would free up some space at this one. And Chris already mentioned we're looking forward to getting progress on the property that we're looking to secure. Meeting with environmental consultants this Tuesday, and I'll just take a look at some of the potential issues on the property, make sure we're not buying a minefield or any a toxic waste dump or something that we're going to spend the next 10 years of our church life cleaning up. So just simple precautions, but we want to make sure we're spending the Lord's money properly and just doing due diligence. There it is. Doing due diligence. I say that three times fast. I can't even say it once. And so we're getting finished with that, but we're hoping to be able to close possibly by sometime in early November and just see what the Lord's got going next. I just know that His heart is enlarged. Yeah. God's heart of love is not the kind of love that we have where we kind of run out. I don't know if you have any of those folks in your life. You know, some people you meet them once or twice and you're ready to just have them sleep in your guest bedrooms. Like they're easy to embrace. And then the other ones, you kind of need that, like pay-as-you-go option, you know, $19.99 a month for 3 years to kind of ease into it, you know. yeah. And, you know, it's just the reality of human beings. We're not all the same, and that's okay. We're not supposed to be the same. We're supposed to be who we are. You know, every time you try to be an imitation of somebody else, you'll never do a good job. You'll never do as good at being an imitation as you will be at being yourself. And I just want to encourage you this morning, be who God's created you to be. Allow His life and His light to shine through you, because you're going to reach people and you're going to shine to people in your sphere of influence that maybe nobody else is going to. Just throwing it out there. You know, there's some empty seats even in this service once the kids are all gone. I know it's pretty full before they leave, and we may look into trying to do a kids' worship service that's happening same time as ours so that there's a little more space. But, you know, for right now, there's still some empty seats that maybe you've got some family members. They need to be the ones filling those up. Maybe you got some coworkers that you'd be surprised. We live in a day and age where I'm always amazed some of the guys, folks that Gilly will invite over. It's I'm surprised sometimes who comes, and sometimes it's not because of pestering. It's just one invitation, and then they show up, and other people you invite 20 times, right? And they always say they're coming, and then they never do. So just encourage you this morning to be outgoing about what it is that God's doing in your heart. Be quick to share what you're learning, whether it's here at church, whether it's in your own reading time, speaker that you're watching on TV, whatever it is, don't ever think that the truth that you're walking in is just for you, because we're going to spend some time this morning talking about this armor that we've been given. In Ephesians 6, Paul talks in other spots as well, because we're in a conflict. Yeah. I hope if you didn't know that just the news alone should allow you to see that we are in a cosmic conflict of good versus evil, light versus darkness, and it's becoming more and more evident as, especially in our nation, we've turned away from the Lord, and we've said, we don't really need you anymore. We got this. We don't need you in school. We don't need you in college education. We don't need you in medicine. We don't need you in politics. We don't need you in economics. We're just going to do it the way that we, as these great Western modern thinkers have said, is going to work, and guess what? It's not working. It's not even close to working. It's so far broken that most people don't even want to talk about trying to fix it. They're just pretending, and they got rhetoric to talk about the issues, but no real change is happening. And I just want to encourage you, that's all because we've eliminated and we've gradually pushed God, the author of everything that was ever good on this planet. We've excluded Him from our everyday lives in many cases, and not us as the church, but as a society. And it's not just in America, it's global. We've traveled to a lot of nations, and especially as a nation begins to get its footing, their economy begins to boom and to grow, very quickly you see a moral decay happen, because people, once they have a certain level of security, they really feel like they've got this on their own. We don't really need you, God. When we hit rock bottom or we're at the end of our rope, you know, we can call out a Hail Mary prayer there. But other than that, we're very quick when things are good to just try and do it in our own strength. And this armor that's been made available to us, we have to learn about it. We have to take it up and we have to begin to exercise it because we are in an absolute all-out fight to the death war. And I know that doesn't sound like something that's going to help fill the church seats to tell people when you come to church on Sunday morning, you are taking a stand in a direction for good that the devil, the enemy, whoever you want to call him, the prince and power of the air, the Bible calls the forces that we're against all kinds of things, but essentially we can just label it darkness. When light comes into a place of darkness, the darkness is uncomfortable and it will always try to quench the light. There's a reason why, just in light of the events that we saw happen this week with the college shooting, that there's not this outrage everywhere. There's not people flooding into the streets about Christianophobia or anything like that, even though very clearly Christians were targeted in this execution-style massacre. Why is that? It's because we have allowed, as a society, we've allowed there to be this mentality that, oh, well, every way is kind of the right way as long as you believe in it. And as long as it suits you, well, that's fine. And if it suits you to walk in and execute 10 people, well, that's what that kid was trained up in. That's the philosophy that he was raised in. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Relativity and truth are two very different things. Truth is absolute. Truth is Jesus Christ. And he's the author of life, the author of this planet, the creator of the universe. And when he says this is the way it needs to work, and we think we know better than that, guess what we can expect? A train wreck, an absolute mess. When people believe a lie, they function in a level of destruction. And for some people, it's very small. And for some people, it's very extreme. And we're witnessing in our society, inside our own borders, the decline and the demise of a really great nation. And I hope that your heart's been in moved to a place of prayer and not just bitterness. I hope that you find yourself praying for our country, praying for our leaders, praying for the people that have the ability to bring their influence into mainstream media so that people can begin to maybe see some truth going on. I mean, I'm just very frustrating to be on the receiving end of such injustice as what we just watched with this particular incident and realize that really, if this had happened to any other demographic, there'd be an outroar, an outrage, an uproar. And yet somehow there's sort of this, there's a few people here and there like, I can't believe this is happening. But, you know, compared to other things that we've seen in the past 12 months, there's really not that much. Why? There's an ingrained disdain for light when there's a community of darkness that's been allowed to evolve and have been allowed to take foothold and take root. And but guess what, folks? We're the light. Jesus said, you're the light of the earth. You're the light of the world. We're a city on a hill, light that can't be hidden. And if we're willing to step out and to be the light will always change darkness. There's never such a thing as it was so dark when you flipped the light switch on that the light bulb just cried out in fear and didn't dispel the darkness. There's no such thing as a struggling light bulb. When the light bulb goes on, the darkness leaves. Darkness is just the absence of light. It's not even an entity in and of itself. Light is the entity. And when it's operational and when it's functional, it's going to dispel darkness. So just be encouraged. Don't ever feel helpless. As we begin to look at some of this armor in the next few weeks, we're going to start with just talking about truth and what is truth. And it's not relative. It's absolute. And it's a person. It's Jesus. But as we begin to look at that, realize that if you feel helpless, it's because you don't realize you have the light of Christ in you. You've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed. An eternal spirit now has taken up residence in you. And now you exude his light. It's no longer your own. That's just the facts. That's the truth. If you want truth, there's the truth. If there's darkness in your life, it's because you have not allowed the light that you now have in you to be expressed. Sometimes things don't change until you speak them out. Sometimes they don't change until you turn off the old radio station and turn on the new one. Sometimes they don't take root and they aren't expressed until you shut off whatever show you're watching that's filling your mind and filling your heart with fear. Some of the solutions to where people stay stuck are actually very basic. They're really simple. They can be done with just your thumb on the remote to your TV and the movies you watch. Believe me, I know. Been through some of it myself. Trust me, there's a lot more control that we have over the darkness that can sometimes surround our lives than we want to give credit for. But there seems to be this move in the West for people to quickly embrace the victim mentality, which basically says, here I sit, everybody's getting shot. Nothing I can do, so you're just sitting here, you're just a victim. I'm obviously referring to the classroom shooting that we just all got to experience and watch firsthand because of the miracles of technology that we have. And yet, where was one person who could meet deadly force with deadly force? Nowhere to be found. Everyone's a victim. Do you understand? When you allow yourself, now spiritually speaking, when you allow yourself to feel helpless and to feel like your light can't change your work atmosphere, your light can't help your family overcome their habitual issues, they can't overcome their negativity. When you feel like your light is not powerful enough to change anything around you, guess who is a victim? Not just you. The people that are around you are easily victimized by those who would come in and the voices that would come in and deceive people and lead them down a path of destruction. This is time for us to realize that in the natural things are happening, and you can very easily, I believe it's easier now for us to see how clearly these things are happening in the spiritual realm by how clear and blatant and in our face they are in the natural realm. It's time for us to all realize we've all been given a measure of faith. We've all been given a voice. We've all been given a platform to stand on, a rock to stand on that doesn't move. And it's time for us to be able to stand up. I mean, it's sad to me that in a room full of that many people, even though we have a constitution that gives us the right to be able to defend ourselves against that kind of force, sadly, everybody else waits for someone else to do it. And all this, you know, takes minutes and sometimes even more than that before people can come who have deadly force to meet deadly force, because everyone's waiting for someone else to do something when God, as believers, has given us the responsibility to reach our own sphere of influence. There's no guarantee someone else is going to do it. If you're praying for people in your family that they would see the light, that they would be protected, that they would have an understanding, that there would be a place they could turn to hear truth, guess what? It's probably your mouth that God wants to use for them to hear it from. It's probably not some televangelist. It's probably not some street corner preacher on a box that's going to tell them. It's probably you. We underestimate sometimes that what we've been given in the ability to stand against evil, and so we sit back and wait for maybe someone in the front of a room to do it, or the worship team to do it, or when I listen to the message from so-and-so, that's when I'm going to get empowered. No, you've got the light. You have the ultimate power that darkness is afraid of, and he's already living on the inside of you if you believe. And when you begin to live out of that place, you begin to realize you have influence, you have power that you never knew you even had. Amen. We've got to get there. We've got to get there fast. Because there's a world that's looking for answers, and they're not hearing it from anybody in a political office. They're not hearing the answers because the answers didn't come from there. The problems didn't come from there. The problems came from people willing to try to live a life excluding the one who gave it to them, being deceived out of where they even came from. And these things need to change, and they have to change in the hearts of a community of people of faith that are willing to believe the truth and are willing to proclaim the truth and willing to say, you know what, I'm standing up not just for my own sake and for my own eternity, but so that the sake of the people around me, they can see that there's a cause worth standing for. There should have been more than just one guy running forward taking 7 bullets in that case. You understand, amazing that there's a hero, but you know what? It's just testimony that there's... We don't understand our strength. We don't understand the synergy Chris was just talking about, how we get intimidated because we all think we're alone. We have this individualistic mentality that I'm going to have to just stand and do this all by myself. It's a tragic thing to have that mentality. We need each other. We need the empty chair next to you. You're going to need somebody in that chair because at some point in life, you're going to need them there and they're going to need you there. We need each other. God's plan is people. His church is made of people. It's not buildings. It's not the one we're going to build, and it's not this one. The church is us. And I get it. Not everybody's easy to get on with, but we've got to exercise our faith in these areas. Not everything I say you're going to agree with. I get Facebook comments. You're welcome to call me. You are welcome to say I completely disagree with what you say. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to preach what I believe the truth to be based on Scripture. Those things are all fine. I have a grace for that, and you need to know that. Don't go storming out. I mean, we've had experiences where people are like, oh, all this crazy ranting and raving about something I said in a sermon, and meanwhile, they never actually called me. And all of it was stuff that was completely misconstrued. In 30 seconds, I could have completely disarmed the entire thing. And then people just go and they bounce and they spread stuff and they get confused. But why? There's a light here. I hope you can feel the presence of God in this place. Not because I'm here, because Pastor Chris or Don's here, because he's here. Yeah. He loves people. He dwells in the hearts of those who believe in him. You don't need to be here to feel strong. You can be sitting in a room where someone is being aggressive like what happened, and you can have the strength of God immediately rise up in you and stand up and do something about it in the natural. How much more in the spiritual realm where Jesus has truly given us his Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us and to live life through us. Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to look today. And we're going to start in verse 10 if you want to turn there. And we're just going to read a couple of verses because there's a bunch of armor listed here and there's a few other spots where we can study about the armor that God's been giving to us. Because if the armor is not used, guess what? It doesn't benefit us or anybody else around us. We have rights, constitutional rights, to defend ourselves. But if folks don't go out and fill out the paperwork and legally get the ability to have deadly force with them, guess what? Now, I'm not advocating everybody go out and do that. But if you are intimidated and you're going to be the one calling somebody else with deadly force to come and rescue you, guess what? There's a constitution in place to protect you from having to wait for that. Do you know that? People are always quick these days to wait for a professional to do something. Oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. Call this person, call this expert. Sometimes the stuff that we need to adjust is so simple and so basic. We'll say, Lord, just show me, what am I missing here? Oh, you need to forgive that person over there. Oh, I don't think I can do that. Okay, then you're going to stay broke. Sometimes the solutions God has for us are so basic and so simple, but we're looking for an expert. Sometimes it's as simple as, hey, you have a God-given right to defend yourself. You have a God-given right to carry on your person the ability, if someone is evil and someone is about to take you out, to stand up to them. How much more has God given us in the spirit realm? Yeah. If he led all the hosts of wickedness captive and took and said he disarmed them publicly and made a spectacle out of them, we didn't see that with our natural eyes, but that's what he did at the cross. How much more does he give us in the spirit for us to see a family member or a coworker down and out? He expects us to be able to be the one to go and reach out to them and to bring them into a place of realizing they're valuable. They're alive for a purpose. They're not just so much cells who happen to randomly assemble themselves together. They're living, breathing human beings with a value that God has placed on them that only God could place. It's called his image. He made man in his image. You wonder why we have such value and why when you get away from that, we see tragedy like what we just witnessing this past week in our own country. It's because people don't understand the value of human life. They think that their life's more important than someone else's life. They don't understand that God has imprinted his image into humanity. And when we reproduce humanity, we are reproducing his image on this earth. Let's start in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. See, Paul's just laying it all here. He's like, guys, you think you're just having a bad day because whatever, your nail polish didn't work or your makeup didn't come out right or whatever, and that little thing can put you on a hold. You don't know what's orchestrating behind the scenes that's trying to get your attitude just down enough so that you can't impact the person that God knows you need to have an impact on because you're having a bad day. Yeah. Or your hair's not right, or whatever. That sounds like I'm picking on ladies, doesn't it? Or for, you know, a guy, the guy's going too slow in front of you, or he doesn't use his turn signal, and now all of a sudden, 15 minutes later, your blood pressure is finally back down because one other human being made a mistake, and God knows we never make mistakes. It's always the person in the other car that makes the mistakes. All of a sudden, we forget how fallible we are. It's an amazing thing. What's going on in those moments when we're just allowing the thoughts of what I'd like to do to that person? Oh, man, I'd love to just cram my bumper, you know, like whatever. I'm going back. I'm digging back for when I thought those things. Way, way, way back. But ancient archives. My face suddenly got itchy. I don't know what that means. But we sometimes miss the fact that we're not wrestling with the guy in the car next to us. There's actually could be very possibly something going on that there's trying to be a distraction so that we don't realize when we get someplace we're already in a tough or whatever that's called. My words are leaving me. We're just already ticked off and we miss opportunities. You know how often this happens? Some of you know this happens to you every single morning. Why? Because that's all it takes to throw you off from realizing you're the light of the world sent into darkness to change the darkness. We gotta be more slick than that. We have to be more wise than that. We have to be more in tune to this battle that Paul is talking about because he's saying we're not wrestling against the people that you think you're wrestling with. You're wrestling against mindsets and things that have been built up in your mind because of years and years of deception and thinking that what you see is actually permanent when in fact everything that you see is temporary. All of it. Hebrews puts it pretty plainly in chapter 11 and verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Words spoken by God cause things that we now see. They were framed by it so that the things that we see were not made from things which are visible. Everything that's spiritual existed before everything that we see with our natural eyes. It was spoken by a spirit being God, and it took form and it took shape and it was framed by his word. That's what we believe. That's what the creator of the universe means to me. He spoke and he created and he did something that no one else could have done. And he created a purpose for the people that would live in their universe that he made. And he did it with a complete trust that somehow that we were going to be able to follow and live a life of light in life so that people outside of his love could see it and want to come in. And yet how much is someone going to desire the place that they see us functioning in on a daily basis, for instance, just going to work, if we're just as confused and just as tapped and just as empty as they are? We have to be the light. You see, there's no other place. You can pray for somebody all you want, but until you're willing to be the answer that they need in their life, or to talk to them and point them to the answer that they need in their life, you're really just praying amiss. You're praying for God to do something he's already done because he's put you in their life. That's the reality of this faith that causes us to understand we're not dealing with things that we see. We're dealing with things that have been built in people's minds by voices. Sometimes they're not even real voices. They're just depressive voices about you feel like this, you feel like this. Have you ever challenged your feelings? Have you ever felt angry? It's like, I'm not angry. Why do I feel angry? I know I'm not angry. Try it sometime. It's crazy. You can literally tell yourself you're not angry, and within seconds, you cannot be angry. Some of you look at me like I'm crazy. I'm telling you, it's not the power of positive thinking. It's the power of truth. Yes. Because if you've been born again of an incorruptible seed, the seed of Christ, and we're growing up into the fullness of his measure and his stature, then everything that's true about us, everything that's spiritual about us, is actually growing closer to him, not further away. Therefore, when things come out of our hearts and out of our lives that don't look like that, we can challenge those things and be like, where's this coming from? Oh, all right, we're in a battle. We're in a war. There's weapons of deadly force. There are things that are coming at my life that I need to understand the armor I've been given. And as we get further in Ephesians 6, we're just going to stop at the very first one given because it's very important. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist, or the King James Version says, girt thy loins. Much more flowery. Girded your waist with truth. Girt thy loins. I just wanted to see what it said because I knew loins was in there somewhere. And so waist is much more polite. But the text is wanting us to understand that it's talking about the reproductive section of the human anatomy is the very first thing that has to be protected. Why? Because a small lie, a small blemish in the DNA of a seed causes a massive malfunction in the expressed trait of whatever that gene was supposed to do. I mean, the tiniest little mutation can cause someone to be born with no arm, can cause all kinds of abnormalities and misformations. Tiny, tiny, tiny things. I'm a biology major. I understand sometimes, and it can be in the most remote part of a chromosome that they didn't even think was really being used, but in a certain phase of growth and in the embryonic stages, that one thing has a vital role to play in communicating. This is the kind of cells that need to form around this particular one. And when small pieces are left out, when truth is not preserved, when the absolute solid evidence that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life, when that's lost from our message, when that's lost from our heart, we are not in truth anymore. We are in error, and you're living trying to do it in your own strength. The very first part that we read in verse 10 says this, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you think you can do this in your own strength, you're going to keep struggling. If you've been struggling, you're going to keep struggling. If you found victory, you're thinking back and you're remembering when you tried to do it in your own strength and your own plans and how frustrated you were. Because you can't do it in your own strength. This armor of truth that's been given, which will actually surround us in the way before we put any other armor on, you have to be standing on truth. You have to know the truth about Jesus. You have to know that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that he came to give life and that we would have it more abundantly. And that there's a thief that also comes at the same time to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you don't understand the most essence, the essential basic foundation of this cosmic battle that we're in, life's going to be really confusing. Yeah. I talk to people that are confused, and how could God allow this, and how could this happen? They haven't even been told the elemental basics of this cosmic struggle that happened when Lucifer rebelled against God in heaven and was thrown out with a third of the angels of heaven, and they all became demonic spirit beings. And we're up against these guys. And it's real. And if you think it's not real, all you have to do is watch the news. You don't have to use your imagination anymore. This stuff is in your face. Evil is on the planet, and it's exercising itself, and it's growing stronger because the light's not willing to stand up in many situations and say, you know what? Enough is enough. It's time for us to stand and realize that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I have done all, I can do all things that Christ, all the stuff that we know. The problem is that if we don't exercise it, what if we're silent about the truth? What if when things happen, we don't actually communicate with people the truth about what's going on? When it's just, well, I don't know, yeah, it's kind of crazy out there, and we just walk on with our day. What if we took the time to say, you know what, you know why that happens? Don't blame God. Don't blame God. He hated it so much that he sent his own son to be murdered and to be massacred and tortured by human hands just so that there would be a way out of this place, a way of escape, that we would be in a place and our eyes could be set on a place where this is no longer going to be normal. Yeah. That's the God that I know and serve. Do you want to know him too? Because it's a lot more, it's a lot greater life to live when you're living in light of that promise than when you're living in light of everything that's going wrong around you. People are ready for change. Way more people than we like to think are ready for some hope. They're ready for something real. It has to be real. It has to be you opening your door and say, come over to my house for dinner. I really care about you. Let's just sit at the table. And stuff that people used to do generations ago that's been lost in our high tech, whatever, whatever. It's just, we have to get back to a culture of family, back to the place where we care about the people that don't have answers. Folks, we're the answer. People think that's arrogant. They think, well, Jesus. No, Jesus' body is the church. He said, if you see me, you've seen my Father. That's what he told his disciples. And he says, as I came, now I'm sending you. He said, the stuff they did to me is the stuff they're going to do to you. The way they treat the masters, the way they're going to treat those that follow the master. We've been adopted in. We sang it this morning. We're his children now. Come on, folks. We're the answer. You can't pass this on to somebody else to do. It's not yours to pass. It's yours to do. There's no one else that's going to intercede for your boyfriend that's all out of whack. It's probably just you that can do it. My kids, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking like I've got it all together. There's people in my life that at the end of the day, I'm like, God, if it's not me that can reach them, please send someone to reach them. But Lord, I know that I'm the only one that carries this burden for them because they're mine. And so God, you hear my heart, you're a loving Father. You begin to pray. Let me just say this. If you can watch the news, and you don't end with prayer, you will soon be depressed, you will soon lose hope, and you will soon probably leave the church because you won't see anything worth standing for, and you'll go right along with the flow of what's broken out there. If you don't have a God response, a spirit response to the brokenness of what we can see, like Hebrews says, the stuff that we see was made by who was unseen. And when we allow this stuff that we see to have precedence in our life and to be what we make our decisions by, we lose our spiritual connection. We lose the faith that causes us to understand that an unseen God produced everything that we see. And if you lose that, you're just as lost as anybody around you that can't see through the thick blanket of darkness that hovers over this place. These are exciting times, man. I can't imagine being bored another time. If you're bored and you're in the church, be careful, because you probably won't be around long, because you'll be easy to take out. Very, very easy. This is we're down to the wire. People's lives are being taken, and it's time for us to realize our eternity and the eternity of people around us is at stake if we don't let the light that's been placed in us shine the way Christ has said it needs to shine. And sometimes it's just having a smile when everybody else is rotten. Sometimes it's just being proactive and saying, man, you really look down. Are you all right? You need a coffee. You need me to run out and get you something. People don't do that anymore, folks. Why? We've become insulated. We've become isolated. The enemy of our soul has caused us to think that we can do it on our own. And guess what? We can't. Amen. You need the person sitting next to you. And if there's an empty chair, we need to get somebody in it. Truth's not effective until it's believed. I'm stunned at what people are willing to believe. We passed a billboard on our trip. It said 1 in 3 Americans is pre-diabetic. And how many people drive past that and look at 3 people in the car and say, which one of us is it? Because everything that they see, everything they throw up on a billboard, must be true. Come on, give me a break. The garbage that they prophesy over people's lives, the garbage that they do to try to get them on a regimen for prescriptions. It's just crazy. You see it happening younger and younger, people in their 20s on blood pressure medication. It's just ridiculous. But if you're not on the truth, if you're not standing on the rock that doesn't move, guess what? It seems to be true. It seems like they know what they're talking about. You know, there's something called Brownian motion. Anybody know what that is? If you're driving down or walking down fast, whatever you're doing, you're driving down, let's say it's snowing out, and you look out the side window, which way is the snow going? It's like sideways. You see little white flashes. Guess what the snow's doing? Is it going sideways? It's not. It's going perfectly straight down. But from your perspective, from your viewpoint, you bet your life that snow is going sideways. It's going perfectly sideways. You can see it. It's called Brownian motion. It talks about how motion itself, the perception of motion, is subject to the position of the viewer. And if there's two bodies in motion at the same time, there's deception. You can't see accurately. If you don't have truth, you'll swear and bet your life that what they're saying is true because the evidence is there for it. You can see it with your natural eyes. But the fact is the snowflakes are coming straight down. And if you don't know that, if you haven't done experiments and found out people that have investigated this, then you're just going to jump in with the masses and believe it just seems like the right thing to do. We need more laws. You can't legislate evil away. Come on. Amen. The law has made that so clear. You can't pass a law to stop evil people. Come on. We have more prisoners per capita in this country than any country on the planet now. And we're adding more laws. Thousands every year. And there's a greater disdain for law enforcement just coming up at the same time. It's going to blow up. It's a recipe for disaster. You can't legislate safety. If you're looking for safety in the realm of this earth, security in the realm of this earth, you're looking in the wrong spot. We're at war. It's like being in the middle of a battlefield and tanks are on each side shooting and you're expecting to be in the middle somehow and feel safe. If you can feel safe in the middle, you're completely oblivious. You're just completely oblivious. That's the only way. You can't possibly be aware of what's happening and be in a war and then be like, I wonder why I don't feel secure. I wonder why I can't sleep at night. You're in a battle. Amen. You wonder why you're riled up. It's because stuff is in your head. Stuff's coming at you to keep you there so that you're just not effective on the side that's going to win in the end. Yeah. Light defeats darkness. Yeah. Jesus was killed. They did everything to him that they possibly could, including taking his own life. And guess what? They still couldn't beat him. What kind of a savior is this? They did everything they possibly could. They humiliated him. They took a long time to do it. They buried him. They put guards around his tomb. And they still couldn't stop him and keep him in the ground. That's the spirit that lives inside of us, folks. But you have to believe it. You have to believe it. 2 Corinthians 4:7-11 just says this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. This isn't a showcase for you. This isn't about you to show just how much you can stand against darkness and how many people you can lead to Christ and how much you can. It's got nothing to do with what you can do. It has to do with if you decide to let the light of Christ shine through you, what will he accomplish with you? What can he do? What family member, what coworker that's so far gone, that's so far removed from faith, will he use you to reach and for him to see hope in and draw into the kingdom through you? I've watched it too many times to think that this is just fairy tales and myths and that there's people that are unreachable. There's no such thing as someone that's unreachable with the gospel of Jesus Christ if it's the true gospel. People are looking for more rules and regulations and religion and the stuff that's supposed to make people look better on the outside. If someone is going to be changed on the inside by the Spirit of Christ, their whole life's going to be transformed. I've watched it too many times. You can't convince me otherwise. Just the people you'd never think, all of a sudden, they're just on fire for Christ. I mean, come on, what is that? It's life transforming darkness. It's life coming into a place of death and overcoming everything that's in its way. It's about a grave that can't contain the life of the one who's life himself. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. See, everything here, I'm perplexed. I'm in despair. I'm persecuted. I feel forsaken. I feel like I'm struck down. I feel like nothing's working out. I feel like things around me are being destroyed. I'm just hard-pressed. I feel like everything's coming against me. I'm hard-pressed on every side. I can say all those things I just read, and many of you have heard them from people, or maybe you've used them yourself, to justify why you're having a bad day. All these things. Or you can read them by faith, and all of a sudden, they become something that builds you up. It says, even though we're hard-pressed on every side, we're still not crushed. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm perplexed and I can't figure out how God's going to reach everybody in my family. Come on. Or people that I know that need him, and I'm trying to convince them that you need him. You don't need this or that or this. You need him. And they're just like, I tried that. They're not hearing it. They're distant. They think they still know better somehow, even though their life is going down the tubes. I can't do the stuff that needs to get done in someone's heart, but I can still tell them about it, because at the end of the day, no matter where they are, I get perplexed. I don't have all the answers, but what does it say? I'm not in despair. Just because I can't figure something out doesn't mean I have to be like everybody else, be like, I just can't figure this out. You know what? There's no point even caring anymore, and go off and just do your own thing and else me be depressed anyway.
Yeah.
That's going to help. That's going to change the world. That's going to make Jesus say, man, I'm glad I died for that person. I'm glad I put my spirit in them. As soon as they can't figure something out, well, now they're in despair again. Persecuted. Now, this is talking about like physical stuff, not just, oh, they cut my interview short because I started talking about God. Not that kind of persecution. I'm talking about persecution like sticks and whips and chains and starvation and in the bottom of the septic tank of the prison where they put these guys that they were really trying to get rid of. This is the kind of persecuted, but still not forsaken.
Yeah.
Still not forsaken.
Yeah.
Can you imagine feeling like everything around you, every person on the planet that could do anything good for you has left you, because here you are in the dark. All the proof you need that you've been forsaken is you're sitting in it.
Yeah.
And yet still, the light that's in you does not feel forsaken, even though that's the place. Struck down. I just feel like that took the legs out from under me. I just don't have anything left. But not destroyed. You can always find something. Yeah. Something. And sometimes that's all you have to do is find that one little something, and all of a sudden the spark comes on. It flips the switch, and all of a sudden the light's taking care of the stuff that you thought you were going to do in your own strength. The light dispels the darkness, not your cleverness. Your willingness is what does it. Your willingness to let the light shine from your mouth, from your countenance, from who you are, from the position of influence that he's given to you. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. This was supposed to take his power. God's not looking for people that have it together to be able to do what he needs done on this planet. He's looking for people that have no clue what's going on. All they know is that he has a clue and he has a plan for them, that if they'll follow his plan, it's going to work and they're going to be preserved and they're going to be in this category of people that no matter what happens to them, they are not destroyed, they're not forsaken, they're not in despair. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Always a constant reminder. If they killed me and they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. That the life of Jesus also might be manifested in our mortal flesh. This faith is so far from boring. This real faith that I'm talking about, the truth, faith, Jesus Christ, the gospel, is a person. His name is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. This thing I'm talking about, yes, there's casualties. There's people taken out all the time, and many of them don't even know it.
Yeah.
They just think, oh, well, I'll try something else. They don't even know what's going on. They're just taken out. All this kind of stuff. This is what church is. This is what the kingdom is. I can't change the book. I can't make this just a nice Sunday ritual that we all feel good about and go and watch football and have chips, even though that's probably what I'll do this afternoon. I'm not saying that we don't live life. I'm not saying that we isolate ourselves to a mountaintop someplace to hide out from everything that's going to go wrong and it's already going wrong. I'm saying that in the midst of enjoying this life that we've been given, there's a place prepared for us that's outside of this stuff. That when we're here, we shine. We dispel darkness. We let people know that there's a way, that there's a hope. There's a God that loves them, and he made a way for them. Otherwise, we just become like everybody else. You know what I've noticed? People, when you meet somebody within very, very short time, you'll begin to hear about everything that's wrong in their life. People are more likely to start talking to you about everything that's wrong. It doesn't matter whether it's a disease, whether it's some kind of a problem with a coworker at work, whether it's a family member of a parent, a child, whatever. People are almost within, they don't have to know each other very much. They could just be meeting for on the first time even. And within a minute, they're beginning to complain about everything that's not working in their life. And the sad thing is that we're the light sent out, right? Jesus is looking, okay, this is my plan. The gates of hell aren't going to prevail against my church. They're going to give them the armor. I'm going to give them the truth so that when they stand, they're going to stand no matter what comes at them. And he's waiting for us to stand against this stuff, to be the light, to be the truth. And then we get swayed by the stuff that other people are swayed by. Instead of, I mean, if you meet somebody and they find out that you have a disease or you have something wrong with you or you're struggling with something before they find out that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you, then something's wrong. I just got to call it what it is. Something's wrong. If your primary existence is what's broken in you, if your primary awareness is what you're not doing right, you're missing the whole point of the gospel. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. The old stuff's gone. Everything has become new. When you realize the gospel and the truth of the gospel, it takes away all the excuses, and people don't want to give up their excuses. They want a reason why. They're the victim. We want a reason why it's someone else's job to take responsibility for what's going on in this world. It's our job. I literally fully believe it. We can't point the finger at a politician. God didn't give the politicians the job of producing light in darkness. You can't blame them. He even threw something in there. I forget the exact words, but he said, don't put it under a basket. You know, no one lights a candle and then puts a basket over the top of it. What's the point? You're burning up the candle, plus you're blocking the light. But that's what people do. He knew people were going to be doing that in the spirit. That's why he said it. You can't be full of light and then try to hide it. You're going to implode. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to wonder what's the meaning of life, and you can fall in the same depression as the people you're trying to help. I want to make sure we're those people that are more aware of who Jesus is and just how grand his victory was than the things in our life that aren't quite there yet. Does that make sense? I think he deserves that, don't you? I think a man that hangs on the cross forsaken. I mean, imagine this. Jesus was abandoned by God. Did you know that? No, he literally was. Either that or Jesus was just acting on the cross. If you want to accuse Jesus of acting and being melodramatic on the cross, that you can take that up with God. He said, my God, he cried out with a loud voice, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, why have you forsaken me? Left. The Father had to turn his back because he took our sin on him. God can't be in the presence of sin. Jesus literally, as a man on the cross, took the sin of an entire universe. Sin's not even committed at the time that he was on the cross. He was paying for the penalty in full. God had to turn his back because he was a sacrificial lamb. He was substitutional. If you understood the Jewish traditions, you'd understand where this was coming from. God instituted this as a way for us to be set free, to be transformed, to have our sin atoned for, paid for, wiped away as if it never happened. His blood was the thing that caused us to have access back to heaven. And in the midst of that, part of the process was Jesus saying, my God, why did you forsake me? In the moment, it was so intense, he literally couldn't remember why. There was a plan. And he was in on the plan, folks. He's the captain of the Lord of hosts. He sits at the highest rank of all of heaven's army. And here he comes, and he's subjected, and he's being treated and abused demonically, spiritually, in ways we don't even know about. The Passion tried to explore it a little bit, but all we know is what we can see with our natural eyes. We don't know what was happening to his spirit as he literally took on the most heinous sins ever committed on the planet. He took them on himself as the one guilty of them. And God forsook him there because a holy God cannot be in the presence of those things. Holiness won't allow it. It's part of who God is. And guess what Jesus does? This is the crazy thing that just blows my mind. In the midst of being forsaken, again, he's either acting or he was literally forsaken. And he literally felt and knew, my God just forsook me. Here I am hanging with the sin of the world on myself, forsaken and left to myself. And we don't know how long it was, whether it was an hour or however much after that. He cries out to his heavenly Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Completely forsaken. And yet, where else are you going to turn? I don't care how bad it is in your life right now, because I'm not comparing it to my life. I'm comparing it to Jesus in that moment. However arrogant, whatever level of arrogance it would take to say, well, Jesus doesn't know what I've been through, you're missing the point.
That's right. Come on, man.
What he endured right there was everything, including your own arrogance. He's literally forsaken, and he still knew, where else can I go? Into your hands, I commit my spirit. He still trusted in the midst of that. And sometimes the stuff that happens to us, it's so vile, it's so wrong, it's so evil, it should never happen, it shouldn't happen to anyone that we love. We should have never been involved in the stuff that we did. We all can dig up our past and gloat about how just disgusting we were or how disgusting we maybe were recently. And you miss the point that in the midst of whatever you find yourself in, he was forsaken and he still found a place to trust his heavenly Father because there's no place else to turn, folks. Even if you think God's forsaken you, it's not justification for you not to trust him with your whole life. Even the very thing that's the eternal part of you, Jesus knew he had an eternal spirit and that part of him needed to be entrusted to someone. He could have easily at that moment said, you know what, I'll just take it from here. I'm just going to protect myself. I've been rejected. I've been abandoned. Wherever this thing ends, I'll take my chances with whatever happens after the grave. But he didn't. Though he was slain in the form of a criminal, he still found a place in his heart to say, God, by faith, I trust you with the only part that I have that's eternal, my spirit. And so this morning, I'm just asking you, have you ever committed and trusted him with the eternal part of you? Of you. Nobody else can do this for you. I can't do this for you. Have you personally trusted him with the part of your life? Are you waiting for everything to line up? Are you waiting for everything to make sense? Are you waiting to not be perplexed anymore? Oh, when I have an aha moment, then I'm going to trust him with, then it'll all make sense and I'll trust him. No, trust and faith needs to come at the moment that it's needed, not when it's convenient. It wasn't convenient for Jesus to say, Lord, I trust, Father, I trust you with my spirit. I commit my spirit to you. He just acknowledged he was forsaken by the one who was begotten by. Deepest level of rejection you can ever possibly construe happened, and he still trusted through it. And guess whose spirit we have on the inside of us? People write people off because of one Facebook message, because of one offense, because you didn't happy birthday me or whatever. People get offended over the most pathetic stuff, and you know what? It doesn't bother me until I look at what Jesus did. And when I realize that that's my spirit, and I catch myself getting offended at stuff that should never even matter to me. It shouldn't even make a difference. In light of him, in the light of the one that lives in me, and what he expects from my life. I feel like as times are intensifying, we have to intensify with our passion, with our faith, and with our desire to be in the truth, in the light, standing on a rock that doesn't move. We have to, folks. I don't want anybody pulled off. I don't want to hear from anybody that someone's all ranting. If you have a problem, just come talk to me. Maybe you'll still leave. Maybe this isn't the church for you. That's fine. But let's do our best to assemble a group of people that are going to stand in this community, stand as we grow and as we multiply in this on the face of this planet for the sake of the lost. It's not about us and our needs on a Sunday morning. It's about the ones coming in that don't even know him yet. I'm believing there was a couple people here this morning. Something I've said, just, you're going to go home and you're going to realize, wow, something changed. You may not even realize it now. I can just feel it in my spirit. Because there's stuff I don't see. There's people sitting in chairs in here. I don't even see them. By faith, I know they're already here. God's not limited by time. There's family members you thought would never come to church before the year's over, maybe before next week. They're going to be sitting next to you. Watch. You don't have to see it and then believe it. You can believe it before you see it. We have to. That's faith. God saw us redeemed, cleaned as his children before Jesus ever even came. And he's now given us the ministry of reconciliation. So that we can return and do exactly what he did for us, for other people, in the way that we represent him. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you this morning. Lord, I believe with all the other things that could have been said that you led me to say the words that I said. And I just feel, Lord, that your presence is here right now. Lord, I know that you have a plan for every single person, that it's precious, that you've numbered our days, that you are aware of the intricacies of our life, of our hearts, Lord, the desires that we don't even know we fully have. We're confused sometimes by our own plans and visions. We don't even know what we're doing with ourselves, and Lord, you've called us to lead others. But God, your spirit gives us wisdom. Your spirit gives us a way. You have come and become the very way to the ultimate vision. To the ultimate place where we will sit with you, where we will be in your presence, and we will experience the fullness of joy that we were created to experience. And so this morning, Lord, we just pray that in this place, following a sobering word, that you'd even now begin to pour out your joy into the hearts of people that are going to go out of this place and they're going to shine. Because, Lord, to shine for you, there is no greater thing. Lord, we choose this morning by faith to take our eyes off the darkness, to stop looking to the news for the next great thing that's going to concern our souls, but that we will look to your word to begin to see the next nugget of truth, the next thing that we can stand on, that we can be in a position to pull someone else in, to draw someone else into the place of peace, protection, and true safety, to know where we're going when this life is finished, Lord. I don't know of a greater gift that you've ever given to my heart to know where I'm going when this life is over. God, I pray. Does anybody here this morning and they don't know what happens to them when they leave this life behind and this body is separated from their spirit? That you just put your arm around them right now, Holy Spirit. That you just flood their heart with the love that passes understanding, with the peace that goes beyond what we can know. And that they would feel that there is truly a God in heaven that has made a way, that has become the way, and desires to take them to a place with no more fear, no more anxiety, no more bitterness, place where you are, God. Lord, we pray this morning that heaven would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that you'd truly give us this day our daily bread. And that you'd forgive us of everything, Lord, as we forgive the ones who've sinned against us. Because it's your kingdom and it's for your glory. It's for your honor, God. And it all belongs to you forever and ever. He's so near to you. I hope you can feel him. Sometimes it's as simple as a tear on your cheek to just help you realize he's real. He's so real. And he didn't miss a single part of your life. There's not one scene that he missed because he was looking somewhere else. He saw everything. And he still sees everything. And he still loves you. With a love that can never be exhausted, can never be quenched. It's a fire that will never go out. All you have to do is acknowledge him, confess that he is Lord, and you become his child. Why people have made it so much more than that, so much more complicated, I will never know. They were deceived. But he loves you. He has a plan for your life that's way different than any human plan can ever be. Even with your eyes closed, just lift up the eyes of your spirit and see that he's not frowning at you. He's not concerned about you. He desperately is in love with you. He will take you through the parts of your life that only he can safely take you through. Will you trust him this morning? Will you trust him? Who else can you trust? Someone you haven't met yet? You still think there's somebody out there that you're going to be able to trust fully? There's only Jesus. Trust him now. Trust him now. What do you have to lose? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it feels so good to be in your presence, Lord. It just feels so good. Lord, I just thank you that when we leave this place, your presence doesn't leave us. You have established a kingdom on the inside of us who believe, where your glory dwells, where your spirit lives, and where your light is always shining. Lord, we're going out of this place today and we're going to shine for you, because there's no other cause worth shining for than your cause. We're going to shine for you, Jesus, because you came and you shone. And you showed us a path to yourself. Just surrender to you, God.